Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends on this Tuesday. We've all experienced breathtaking moments. Do you remember when you witnessed something that simply took your breath away? And perhaps it was so remarkable that even days or weeks later, you still struggled to find the words which explained it adequately. That is what we witnessed yesterday, and we'll try to understand it today. Are you ready? Let's step back into the scene. We're in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago. It's about 2 months or so after that remarkable Passover Easter weekend when Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. We're about 10 days or a few weeks after the remarkable Shavuot Pentecost festival when the Holy Spirit came in great power upon many people in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 3 describes a remarkable moment in history. As the apostles Peter and John are approaching the Gate Beautiful of the temple, they see a crippled man being carried to his normal begging place near the gate. The beggar extends his hand, asking for compassion as Peter and John walk by. Peter stopped, turned back to the beggar, and said something preposterous. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Acts 3, verse 6. Had Peter ever said anything like this to anyone before? Not that I know of. But Peter had seen Jesus do it. And now, empowered and led by the Holy Spirit, Peter was simply being obedient to what the Holy Spirit instructed Peter to do. Suddenly, this unnamed beggar had an important decision to make. Very likely, he had seen Jesus walk by him through this gate maybe many times in the past 2 or 3 years. What he knew of Jesus, we have no idea. I also don't know how long he paused, looking at Peter and John, considering what Peter had said. Others going by may have stopped to watch. Finally, the beggar, perhaps feeling some hope for the first time in a long time, grasped Peter's outstretched arm and did something he'd never done before. He stood up on his own 2 feet, Acts 3, verse 7 and 8. And then he started jumping and dancing, something he'd always hoped he might someday do. Immediately a crowd gathered, awestruck by what they saw. Peter and John continued on through the gate into the temple courts area, but not alone, for the joy of this jumping, celebrating cripple could not be contained. Years of bottled-up desire to dance had been unleashed, and this cripple knew of no better way to thank God for his miracle than dance and shout. Pause. How do you praise God, my friends? When you find yourself overwhelmed by God's majesty, his goodness to you, his mighty power, his compassion and love, his tenderness and his activity in your life, what is your favorite pattern of praise to Jesus? Is it sometimes outrageous, unfettered praise? Have you noticed praise to God is contagious? Luke tells us, when the people saw him praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement, and they came running. Acts chapter 3, verse 9 to 11. For much of his life, this crippled man sat on the ground, unnoticed by thousands of people who walked by him every day. But now, he was the center of attention. Now, people were running to him, anxious to understand what was happening to him. Pause. Can you put yourself in the scene, my friends? Do you hear the haunting questions? Are you and I the kind of people who draw others to Jesus, or do people walk right by us, not noticing us, or worse, do people pull away from Jesus because of us? Now, don't rush past that question, my friends. It's worthy of our serious consideration. For a second time in only a few days, it appears, opportunistic Peter saw another chance to tell an enthusiastic crowd about his friend Jesus. So, Peter evidently found something to stand on and shouted to the excited crowd, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" Acts 3, verse 12. Okay, Peter had their attention, and what he would say next would be critical. What would you have said in that moment, my friends? Bold, courageous Peter was no longer the shy Peter who denied Jesus as he sat around a fire that Thursday night about 2 months before. This bold Peter challenged the crowd, first to remember who they were with this statement. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." Acts 3:13. For every Jew in Jerusalem, that rich heritage was something they cherished, and Peter did too. But do you see how Peter elevated Jesus, glorified by God the Father, to a place even higher than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Now that was outrageous. Next, Peter went right at the crowd. You handed Jesus over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though Pilate had decided to let Jesus go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer, Barabbas, be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of this. Acts 3, verse 13 to 15. Pause. Which of those several accusations by Peter do you think was most impactful that day to this Jewish crowd? Of course, being accused of being part of a mob lynching is strong language, but it was true of them, and they knew it. And which statement is most impactful to you today? For me, it's, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Yes, God the Son, Jesus Christ, is the author and giver of life, according to John chapter 1, chapter 14, and Colossians chapter 1. So how does your life and mine honor or defame the one who created us, sustains our lives every day, and gave his life so we could have a new sin-forgiven life? Then Peter said this, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that completely healed this man, as you can all see. Acts 3, verse 16. What does it mean, my friends? I have two questions for us. What power is in the name Jesus Christ? What faith power does the Holy Spirit give to us? And how does that faith affect the unleashing of God's miraculous power into us? We're going to pause right here and let those questions soak deeply into our hearts. Why? Because they stand on the other questions we wrestled with today as we watched this healed cripple jump and dance, and we considered how the people responded to him and how they respond to us. Then meet me here tomorrow, and we'll deal with those two questions and others as this remarkable event unfolds.